Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Last week, by the way, we talked about miscarriage and we talked about the stigma around it and how we talk about it and how we, I suppose, there was a whole thing around, you know, the awareness. And you might have saw it on The Late Late Show, by the way. Or Rosanna Davidson, so to say, talked about it on The Late Late Show. And it was lovely to hear people just talking very naturally and fluidly about it without getting embarrassed or without anybody getting too upset. And it's always something that we want to know is how do you talk to somebody who've either had a miscarriage or maybe they've had a stillbirth? And October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. That's why we're talking about it. And each year, on October the 15th, there is a global wave of light where across the world, at 7 o'clock, candles, monuments, landmarks and buildings are lit up in the campaign's colours, blue and pink, in memory of the babies. And the aim, I suppose, of turning the buildings and landmarks blue and pink will spark conversations about baby loss and give bereaved parents and families an opportunity to talk about their precious little babies. And to talk to me a little bit more about it is Nina Farrell, who's Liam and Grace's mammy and a volunteer with Felicon. And Felicon are an organisation who support women who've lost their baby. Good afternoon to you, Nina.
Good afternoon, Niall.
See, the first thing I have to say to Nina is, even when I'm talking about it as a radio presenter, the language I use and the way I talk about it, maybe am I being overcautious, or should I be more open and talk more openly and not be too concerned about the wording I use? Is that something that we need to think about?
Yeah, I think in fairness, you know, it's important to have the conversation. Do you know, it's important to be able to chat openly and honestly and not to worry too much. If we concentrate too much on the language that we're using and we worry too much about the language, sure, it fills us with fear and it stops the conversation flowing naturally. Do you know?
I mean, I'm very conscious of the fact that you lost two wonderful children, Liam and Grace, and I'm very conscious of that. I'm going to talk to you in a second about that as well and how that felt for you. But what I'm saying, using words like stillbirth, is that still a word that people use? Is that still the same word that we use now? Or is it losing your baby? Or when you meet somebody who may have had a stillbirth or lost their baby, what is the correct thing to say to them? You know, I'm sorry that you lost your baby, or sorry you had a stillbirth, or how do you refer to that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, the term stillbirth is still used. It's, you know, it's referred to as the Stillbirth Registration Act. So yes, it is a term that's used. In terms of meeting somebody, I mean, I think once you talk to somebody, you quickly find out the type of language that they'll use.
Yeah.
For example, somebody might refer to their baby as a little angel.
Okay.
Somebody else might refer to their baby just by their name. They might, you know, everybody has their own language they're comfortable with. And I think you quickly learn the type of language people are comfortable with. And it's about respecting where they're at and,
yeah,
you know, and following their lead, I suppose.
And
but
how many stillbirths are there in Ireland on a yearly basis? It's something
we don't
actually think about.
Yeah, we don't actually have the figures for that. I mean, Felicon don't focus on, you know, the research
the
and the figures,
yeah,
and the stats. And, you know, because sometimes you can become so consumed by stats. You know, every single stillbirth that happens, every single neonatal death loss, I mean, the impact of that is just enormous. You know, so
absolutely,
the figures aren't as important. But I suppose Felicon do give out roughly about 1,000 memory boxes a year, which is a huge number, you know, and memory boxes are given to people kind of from a 16-week loss.
Okay, describe to people what's in the memory boxes, and I'll talk about a little bit later as well about the funding, because I know you don't get any state funding for this, right? So you rely basically on volunteers.
We do, yeah, and bereaved parents, you know, and a lot of times bereaved parents are just so appreciative of getting the memory box and, you know, being able to make memories with their children that they will fundraise for Felicon, which is a huge help. But in terms of the memory box, you're given it to you by the hospital, and you're given it when you're in labour and you're given birth if they know that the baby's not going to survive. And inside that is some information that will help you over the next couple of days. But also there's two little teddies, which you place with your babies, and the idea is that you keep one and one goes with the baby.
Okay.
There's also
that's nice, actually. It's a nice
thought. Lovely, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah,
yeah,
it's lovely. There's also to make prints with your babies, ink prints, you know, and the hospital will help you make that.
Yeah.
There's lip balm, which is, it's all about the touch, you know, making you comfortable touching your baby. I can remember the midwife handing myself and Alan some lip balm to touch Liam and Grace's lips. I didn't know what it was for at the time, but it's all about the touch and, you know, and that's really lovely, you know.
Okay.
And the information that you need kind of, you know, around, you know, the next couple of days, if you've living children, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how it affects them too, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something we don't think about, that will help you. Yeah. A huge impact, you know, and even on the wider family.
I mean, they, particularly if they're kind of, you know, 8 or 9 year olds or whatever it is, they've been looking at mommy pregnant and they're hoping for a little brother and sister on the way and they're all excited about it. And it must be very difficult to come home and then say to them, you know, there's no little brother or sister and that's not going to happen now, sorry. But, like, how do you explain that to a child? It's very difficult as well, something we don't think of.
It is. And I suppose, you know, Felicon give out teddies, which is, you know, a big brother teddy or a big sister teddy, so that the kids are involved as well, you know, that they feel they have something tangible to touch, you know, that they, you know, that represents their loss.
Yeah.
And also then there would be some advice around the kind of language you use, like the baby didn't just go asleep, the baby actually died, because in terms of the impact that might have, they might be afraid to go asleep.
Yeah.
Do you know? So it's just kind of language like that.
Yeah, and that's then something that you wouldn't think of either, yeah, when you say something like that. Because children take everything literally, of course.
They do, of course.
But yeah. Nina, for people who don't know, and I spoke to you before, I think.
But
remind people of your own personal story, if it's not too difficult for you to keep. And I know people probably ask you to keep recounting the story, and it's probably very difficult for you to keep doing that. But I suppose the more you talk about something, the easier it is maybe to manage in your own head in some way.
It is, Niall. And to be honest with you, I absolutely love talking about Liam and Grace. I mean, they're my favourite topic of conversation. Do you know?
I'm glad to hear that.
I love telling people about them. I love, you know, and telling people how important they are to us, you know, and it's just really lovely to get the opportunity to talk about them, you know.
So I'm assuming Liam and Grace were lovely, happy pregnancies. Delighted to be pregnant. You and your partner were delighted to be pregnant.
Myself and my husband were delighted. We'd had a tough journey, you know. We'd had 3 recurrent miscarriages. We'd had 4 rounds of IVF and suddenly we were pregnant on Liam and Grace. And once we got past that early miscarriage stage, after having 3 early miscarriages, I mean, we thought we were
home,
you know,
free.
We got
Yes, we did. We got
to the 12-week scan and we saw their beautiful hearts beating. I mean, we got loads of scans, you know, loads of private scans. We, you know, it was just
because you were being overcautious because of your miscarriages.
Were.
Yeah,
and
we talked to some women last week who had numerous miscarriages, 5 and 6 of them, and they said, you know, after the first one, pregnancy just isn't the same because it's very difficult to relax. Yeah.
You absolutely do. All innocence is gone once you've kind of experienced that. You hear stats like 1 in 4 pregnancies end. But when that becomes you, suddenly that is just so real and so frightening. And, you know, and so we had lots of scans and we got to the 20-week scan, the big scan. We found out it was a boy and girl. I mean, it just literally felt like it doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah.
We were just really excited.
And was the pregnancy okay? I mean, how were you during the pregnancy?
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. There was absolutely no problem. The usual kind of, you know, heartburn, you know, minor little ailments.
Yeah.
But nothing.
No cravings for eating ice cubes and things like that.
I wasn't too bad. And and we were just preparing. And I got to 22 weeks and 6 days. And it was just an ordinary day in work. No, nothing unusual about it. And about 7 o'clock, I got a pain. And, you know, suddenly it was, that's an unusual pain, like, and at one stage I remember thinking, how am I going to manage labour when I can't even manage these pains, you know, pregnancy pains, but I actually was in labour, and we suddenly realised we had to, my waters broke, and it was an emergency dash to Holles Street, and we were, you know, they did the scan, and we saw their 2 beautiful hearts beating, and we thought, oh, it's okay. I remember thinking, my God, I can't believe I've made such a fuss. Like, I'm mortified.
Yeah, you were thinking, okay, they'll end up in an incubator because they're early births. And that was the worst case scenario you were thinking, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, in my head, I was thinking infection is huge now. I'm going to have to be really careful. Okay, I'm off work. The things that go through your head are just crazy. And suddenly somebody came in and explained that they were going to be born and they wouldn't survive.
Oh, no.
Once it's before 24 weeks.
When somebody tells you that information, when you, in your head, the worst case scenario was you're going to have to take a bit of time off work, as you said.
And then
somebody comes in and says, sorry, but, you know, your 2 babies, the babies that you've loved during your pregnancy and you're so excited, are not going to make it. That news must be devastating to you.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, you can't believe that your own heart is still beating after hearing something so absolutely devastating. And to be told that I had to go through labour and, you know, and to give birth, I mean, the physical pain is nothing. It's just nothing in comparison to knowing that you're going to give birth.
And at this stage, their hearts were still beating. So they were
still beating,
they were still alive. And so what was the reason why? Because is it their brain is not fully developed? Or what is the reason why they won't survive?
I suppose their lungs, there's so many reasons. They wait, you know, they wait till 24 weeks. And, you know, even at 24 to 28 weeks, you know, it can be
some
a long
babies
journey
have
for babies.
Survived, haven't they? Under,
they have.
Under
they
24.
Have.
Yeah, I know. I know a friend of mine who had twins at 23 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong, their first year of their lives, it was extremely complicated.
Yeah.
But many operations and different things like that. But look, thankfully, they survived that. So it is quite unusual for that to happen. But
it is.
Of course, you wouldn't have known that when you went in on that
particular
day.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. And I suppose those couple of hours were the worst of my life. They absolutely were. But all that changed at 1:42 on the Friday morning when Liam was born, and his heart had just stopped beating just before he was born. But my first glimpse of him was no different than any other mother. Everything changed in that moment when I saw him and saw how gorgeous and perfect he was. And suddenly I was a mammy, and I couldn't have been prouder. I just literally, I felt all those emotions, that rush of unconditional love. And 7 minutes later, Grace was born, and there was a tiny little whimper, and it was just the most beautiful sound. She was alive, and they both lay on my chest until, you know, and Grace lived for 31 minutes, which was just, I mean, with Alan beside me, it's hard to describe, but it sounds so sad, you know. Obviously, Liam had died, but at that moment, I felt nothing but pride and love and, you know, happiness. And I remember the midwives congratulating me on becoming a mother, and I just couldn't have been prouder, you know.
Do you separate that wonderful pride and that beautiful moment of becoming a mother with the fact that, sadly, your two children are not going to live? How do you separate the trauma of that from the beautiful feeling?
I don't think you can separate them. I don't think. Yeah. I think the love survives. I mean, I've learned over 3.5 years that the love I feel for Liam and Grace will never, ever go, and that is so comforting. And every bit of pain and grief I feel is worth it for that love, for that.
Absolutely.
To be their mammy, you know.
And you're still their mammy.
I absolutely am, yes. Mm-hmm. I absolutely am. And I feel, you know, very proud of that. I'm very proud that they chose me to be their mammy, you know. And
how do maternity hospitals deal? Because I suppose they're dealing with situations every single day.
Yeah.
Where to them, you know, there's a normality to these things happening, because they do unfortunately happen. And so how do they deal with it? I mean, did they deal with it well, in your opinion, generally speaking?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they dealt with it with extremely sensitively and in a very caring manner. I mean, some of the things, I remember them congratulating me. I remember the bereavement midwife coming in and asking me, you know, if I'd like to bath them, she could help me bath them. And, you know, and the chaplain coming and asking, would I like to do a naming ceremony with them? Mm-hmm. I mean, we wanted to do everything.
That's what I wanted to get to.
Everything in.
And by the way, this is something I want to get to, because I spoke to you before and I don't know if anything's happened since then. And I actually meant to do something around that. And I do apologise that we probably didn't, and we fell back on our laurels a little bit. But the last time you were on, when you mentioned the naming ceremony, the most disgusting part and despicable part of all this is you don't get a birth certificate.
We don't. We got a still birth cert for Liam.
The still birth cert is not
private. He's not formally recognised as mine and Alan's child.
You know what? Maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, but to get a still birth certificate kind of labels them as something that they're not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe that's wrong of me in thinking that. They're little children. Sadly, they didn't survive, but they are little children. They're your children, and you should have a birth certificate for them.
Yeah, and that would be great, but I think the first step is to try get the register open, you know, to try and get Liam's records public. Whilst I agree with you that it would be absolutely great to get a birth and death cert, just like I did for Grace, I think we're a long way away from that.
Yeah.
And I think the first step would be to get this stillbirth register open. Do you know, because, you know, I'm very proud parent for both Liam and Grace.
Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking to think that in generations to come, it could look like I'm only a parent to Grace. Do you know, and that's, it's just not fair, do you know. And you know, we're such proud parents, and we want to shout out that we're parents. We don't need to see the Stillbirth Register. At the moment, it's only parents and grandparents that can see it. We don't need to see it. We know they were born. We know they died. But, you know, it's the future, and it's what that means. So as part of Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, we're calling on the government in Felucan, you know, to amend the Stillbirth Act immediately and to open it up and to give us an opportunity, you know, to for our children to be recognised.
And what is the criteria at the moment under the current legislation? Pardon my ignorance for not understanding it completely, but so to get a birth certificate for a child,
they had to breathe.
The child has to breathe.
The child has to take a breath. If the child takes a breath, no matter what gestation that is at, you know, sometimes it can be, sometimes it could be 20 weeks and there was a breath taken, that means you get a birth cert and a death cert.
That's terrible insensitive legislation, isn't it?
It absolutely is. But I suppose when, you know, I've been doing some work on this for Felucan, and when you read back on the notes and why the legislation was brought in, it was brought in at a different time. It was brought in 1994.
So because these two little babies were huddled on your chest, and because yes. Grace took a breath, and because That's Grace whimpered, she gets the honour of having
a birth and death cert.
A birth and death cert.
Yeah.
But Liam didn't because
yeah.
he died just before he was born.
Absolutely.
That's
and that's
horrendous.
That is literally the only difference between my two children. That's literally, I mean, there's no other difference.
That's awful. That's really awful.
Yeah.
And there's no logic to that whatsoever at all. That's no. very insensitive completely. Anyway, the other thing as well is that Felucan, who do wonderful work, and many years ago, by the way, I presented
you did indeed.
A night out for
at
Felucan. That's
yeah.
right, out on the south side of Dublin somewhere. I'm trying to remember where it was now. Where it was out on the south side of Dublin. And we had a fundraising night, of course, at Felucan. And because a good friend of mine, sadly, had lost a baby as well. And that's why I did that particular mm-hmm. night. But in saying that, you're obviously having the Wave of Light, which is an event to try and raise some money. Tell us a little bit about that, Wave of Light.
Okay, so in 2018, after Liam and Grace had been born and died, that year, Liberty Hall lit up blue and pink, and it was the first building in Ireland to light up blue and pink on the 15th of October, which is known as Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day, and that's a worldwide.
Yeah.
I just thought it was amazing that Liberty Hall was lighting up, you know, and how wonderful it was. But when I looked into it a bit further, I found that there's, you know, around the world, there's so many buildings lighting up. And, you know, with the support of Felucan, we launched a campaign kind of asking buildings in Ireland to light up. So in 2019, we had 83 buildings. And last year and this year, we've had over 100 buildings.
Well done.
And yeah, it's amazing. It's lovely. It's just such a special night. You know, I'm conscious that it's not one night that, you know, I mean, we're living with this 365
of course,
days
yeah.
a year, but it's great to have a night where other people, maybe not directly affected, get to think about it. And that's what the awareness is all about, you know, to let people know.
And so of course, there's a cost involved, you know, in trying to support parents. Now, I know you're a non-profit organisation.
That's right. Yeah.
So you don't make any money out of this. Basically, you just need the money to try to support parents like yourself who are in the
yeah.
same situation as yourself, you know, who may not be able to deal with it. I mean, you're dealing with it very well, Nina, I have to say.
Okay.
But there's other parents out there who may not be able to deal with it quite as well. And they need support. They need a bit of help. And obviously you're looking for anybody who wants to donate, by the way, you can go to felucan.ie. I'll spell that out for you. I get Aisling to put a link on our Twitter and Facebook there as well if you want to donate a few quid. Because when people listening today, and I'm looking at all these wonderful messages, by the way, coming in from people here, just listening here to that woman, she is so strong speaking about every part of her story so openly and honestly. She is so powerfully strong, an incredible lady. And you are an incredible lady because I think you give hope to everybody else who has ever been in that situation, to look at things slightly differently. And when you talked about, you know, and even the nurses to say congratulations to you, I don't think I could be brave enough, you know, if I saw, you know, a woman devastated losing her child to say congratulations, because I don't know if that would be the right thing to say. But clearly for you at that moment, it was the right thing to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was wonderful that you talk about your children, Liam and Grace, and you talk about them as if they're with us here today.
Yeah, because that's the way I feel. I mean, they grow, they for me, I mean, everyone's different. Some people, their babies remain babies, and they'll always think of them as the, you know, picture them, imagining them as babies.
Yeah.
But for me, I picture Liam and Grace now as 3.5-year-olds. I know they should have started preschool a couple of, you know, they grow yeah, with so me. You, we bring them with us.
Absolutely, yeah. So you're thinking of every kind of landmark moment.
Absolutely, yeah absolutely. Because, you know, and I'm blessed with a great family, lots of great friends and support. And obviously, as well as me volunteering with Felicon, I get great support from Felicon, you know, and it all
by the way, I don't want to ignore your partner here today as well, by the way.
Because
it's unfair to, we talked about miscarriage last week, and I didn't want to ignore the men either, because it affects them equally. I mean, because obviously it's their children too, you know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
And I know that generally a lot of the time they're there to help and support you know, and the women who lose their babies as well. So, I mean, that's part of what they have
it's
to do.
It's just such
too.
A big loss for, you know, Alan lost, you know, Liam and Grace as well. And, you know, and it's such a massive loss for him. And there's so much focus on the woman, you know, and there's so much, I mean, I know we go through the physical, you know, labour and that, but every other part of the loss and the grief, Alan feels just as much as me, you know, and it can be hard, especially in the beginning. I think I was very conscious that people were asking Alan how I was. You know, and they weren't asking him how
he was. Yeah, of course.
You know,
and I'm sure his mates and work were probably saying to him, you know, how's Nina now?
Exactly.
Instead of saying to him, because that's a kind of mannish thing, I suppose, isn't it? Instead of saying
to
him, are you all right, Alan? Can we, you know, do you need to talk?
That's
and it might have been difficult for him too. But listen, it was wonderful to listen to your story. And when I say wonderful, it was wonderful because you're a wonderful mammy. And I'm delighted you got that moment to spend with your children. And I'm delighted you'll carry them forward with you for the rest of your life. And also delighted as well that you've put all your energy now into helping other women in the same position. So if people want to help out, by the way, they can go to felicon.ie. So now that's spelled F-E-I-L-E-A-C-A-I-N. Okay, Felicon. What is Felicon? It's Irish for what?
It's the Irish for butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we picture them as butterflies. You know, they were here for a short time, but the impact is huge.
Okay, and if you want to go there and donate, or if there's any, is there any other way they can donate, by the way?
No, just on the Felicon website.
Okay, on the Felicon website.
Great,
and your money goes towards basically making up these wonderful little boxes, these memory boxes, for couples or women who have lost their babies in these circumstances, little teddy bears and little memories of their baby, etc., etc. And it's a wonderful, wonderful cause. So please do go and donate and help them out. And also try and support as well the Wave of Light. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Nina. I appreciate you
coming
here today.
Thanks, Niall. Thanks very much.
And you're a wonderful lady. You deserve all the compliments and all the texts that are coming in at the moment. I'll be here all day reading them out to you.
Thanks,
Nina. Bye. There
Bye.
You go. Nina Farrell, Liam and Grace's mammy and volunteer with Felicon. A wonderful organisation.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.